first, if you had to guess, when would you say recreational vehicles hit their peak popularity in the United States? Maybe the 1980s or 90s, sometime in the past? Turns out it may be right now. The RV Industry Association says 2017 was a record year for shipments at more than 504,000. In fact, they went up every year since 2010 until coming down slightly in 2018. Why the surge? They've become more comfortable, more modern, and easier to rent. Gas has also gotten cheaper. Maybe a bigger surprise is who's getting into it. It's not just retirees and empty nesters, but millennials. Our guests made the decision a few years back to sell their home and cars and quit their jobs. They now live, work, and travel out of their RV full-time and blog about their experiences. Mark and Julie Bennett are the husband and wife team who wrote the book Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. They blog at rvlove.com, and they're joining us on the road. Mark and Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
And let me ask, Mark, whereabouts are you right now? I heard something about Alabama. I heard something about Colorado. Pin it down for us.
We are currently in Fairhope, Alabama, which is near down the southern in the panhandle.
Okay. It looks like we've lost Mark actually for the moment, Julie, but that's okay. We've got you. What made the two of you decide to basically trade everything you had for an RV?
Well, you know, if you can't tell from the accent, Robin, somebody might be wondering, I'm Australian, but I've been living in the U.S. for 10 years. And, you know, my husband, Mark, and I, we had a great life living in Colorado and, you know, had jobs and commutes, and we don't have kids. We had a dog, and we were just really looking for ways to bring more travel and adventure into our lives. And when my husband found himself with a full-time job that he was able to do remotely from home, we started asking the question, well, you know, where is home anyway? And if he could do his work from anywhere using internet, mobile connectivity, maybe we could start doing more exploring and traveling of this amazing country. And that's when we started exploring the idea of living in an RV. And once we started researching, the idea got legs, and we just kept researching and finding that all of the big questions that we had were being answered in a way that we're showing that there are hundreds of thousands, if not over a million people doing this. And so 5 years ago, we sold our home, bought an RV, hit the road, and haven't looked back.
And as you travel around, I know you meet a lot of other people in RVs. What is the mix you see of people who are, you know, maybe taking that 2-week road trip on a vacation versus the people who are full time like you are on the road?
Well, the majority of people still with RVs are vacationers. You know, they go for, you know, weekends or a couple of weeks on a vacation. We've been full-time, but when we first hit the road, we found that we were some of the younger ones in the campgrounds, and they tended to be a higher percentage of retired people, particularly outside of school holidays, you know, and during the week. But what we're finding now, it's interesting, over the last 5 years, really seeing the change in the demographics in the campgrounds. We're seeing a lot more families with kids that are road schooling their kids. We're seeing a lot more millennials, a lot more younger people like us that, you know, in their 40s and still working and just discovering that this is a way to be able to do that. So it's been really interesting to see the change. We were among the younger when we started out, and now we're seeing, now we're starting to be some of the older ones.
Now, what is it? This might not be for everyone, but what is it that you love about living year-round in an RV?
You know, for us, I think it's really just about that freedom to be able to decide where you want to be and when you want to be there. And a lot of that is taking advantage of the weather. So, for example, we just spent 4 months in Florida for the winter. So we originally had our home in Colorado, and seeing family digging themselves out from 10 inches of snow after a big storm, and here we are in Florida at the beach, you know, sunning ourselves, and it really didn't even feel like we had winter at all because the weather was so great in Florida this year. So that was a huge advantage. And then, you know, we can go north in the summer. That's what we'll be doing this year. And I think one of the big things too is we really wanted to travel as far and wide as we could, and we've traveled to all 50 states while still working full time, because you're driving, you know, as part of your life. Like, we don't drive every day, of course. We might stay somewhere for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks, but instead of going somewhere and then racing back to get to work, we're kind of heading in one direction and just stopping where we want to go along the way.
We're talking about living on the road, either for 2 week vacations or full time. Julie Bennett is with us. Her husband, Mark, we're trying to reconnect with. They're the authors of Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. Looks like we have Mark back with us. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I am. Sorry. I don't know what the heck. Sometimes just drop. Even though you have coverage, it just suddenly drops.
Yep. Happens with any kind of phone. Well, I want to bring you in, Mark, and can you talk about the transition from living in a house with presumably, you know, the stuff you build up in a house to living in an RV? You write a chapter in your book about how to make that that purge before you hit the road.
Well, it is a big purge, and especially for people who are older demographic, people who have built a whole family in their lifestyle, in their home, that can be a really big job, not just physically, but also emotionally. It's a very big transition. For us, it took probably 6 to 9 months to be able to pull off, and, you know, just selling things at garage sales, selling things. And we actually were able to sell our home fully furnished, which worked out really well because we didn't have to get rid of any of our furniture.
And you also talk in the book and actually on your blog about a phrase I learned, boondocking. Julie, could you talk about that? This is, you know, instead of going to a campsite, you're just self-sufficient in the vehicle. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, we love boondocking. It was a term we'd never heard of when we started this 5 years ago, and then quickly learned that a lot of people do it, and that's part of the appeal is an RV allows you to really get out there and camp off grid in places that you wouldn't otherwise normally be able to get to. And what boondocking means is you're able to just use the amenities on board your RV to operate as if you're plugged in at a campground. So we have a fresh water tank for water, we have a generator for power, and actually now we have lithium batteries and a whole 1,000 watts of solar on our roof, so we can don't even need to run our generator anymore when we're out there literally in the boonies. You could be up in the mountains. We had a fantastic summer in July in Salida, Colorado, in some beautiful public land. There is a lot of public land, Rob, in America that perhaps people don't know about. It's being public land. We all own it, and we have the right to go and stay on it up to 2 weeks. There is a restriction. And, you know, obviously you do the right thing. You pack your stuff in, you pack your stuff out. This is to be cherished, and you don't abuse these free lands. But you can park in these scenic locations and just... One of our favorites is Sedona, Arizona, where we're parked on forest land. In fact, the front cover of the book, you'll see a picture of our first RV surrounded by million-dollar views in Sedona, and that was just parked on a dirt road. Waking up to that view every single day was just incredible, and it's a real sense of freedom, you know, to be able to do that and literally be off-grid. Literally be off the grid in terms of your power, your water. And we have holding tanks for, you know, sink water and shower water and the toilet, that kind of a thing. And then get to a campground and dump our tanks and go and do it all again.
We're talking about recreational vehicles and the people who live in them, either for vacations or all the year round. Mark and Julie Bennett are with us. They're a husband and wife team who quit their jobs, sold their house and cars, and now live, work, and travel out of their motorhome. They're the authors of Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like RVing either all year round or just for vacations? What do you like about it? Where have you gone? Where do you want to go? Do you work out of one? Do you find maybe seasonal work or work remotely for whatever job you do? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.
Great RV.
Thanks. It's a Roadbird Freedom 5000.
Where are you headed?
Oh, wife and I just drove down from Seattle. Don't know where we're going next, but it doesn't really matter when you're driving one of these puppies. Hey, honey, fry me up some steakums, will you?
RV scene from the King of Queens there. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the growing popularity of motorhomes. Mark and Julie Bennett are with us. They're a husband and wife team who call themselves full-time RVers. They blog, teach RV courses, and they wrote the book Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you now or have you ever lived out of an RV? Do you have one that you like to take on vacations for a week or two at a time? Do you have a favorite memory, story, a place you visited in your RV? RV or a question for a guest. They've got a lot of advice in their book and on their blog. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Todd is with us in Janesville. Hi, Todd.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on your show. I just like to make a couple comments. I think it's great that younger families are starting to do more RVing. My parents bought a big diesel pusher. My dad always wanted to have a Bluebird, and they ended up getting a diesel 40-foot diesel pusher Monaco. And it was just too big for them. And we have a 1973 GMC Sequoia, all original lime green. It's 26 feet. It's just a lot easier getting into places than you can with a big, you know, if you're going to be living out of it, it's a different deal. But for going, you know, for a week or a month out of it, you can get into more spots with a smaller coach. And I just recommend, you know, if someone's going to buy a coach, is to rent one for a month. You know, the 26 or 32 foot Class C, just to see, get used to driving, number one, and then, you know, see what they'd like to change on before they actually go out and buy one. My dad, they had, there's this one trip to Florida and back, and it was on Craigslist.
Todd, thanks a lot for the call. Mark, can you talk about that, trying to find the right size RV for a particular person or family's needs?
Yeah, I mean, we do recommend people look for the smallest one they feel they can be comfortable with in their travel, because it does increase your maneuverability and also your access to places to stay. But it depends on how much you're talking about. Some of what that caller was mentioning, a lot of it has to do with your travel style. You know, if you're just going out for weekending or if you're going out for shorter, less frequent trips, a smaller one might be able to do better for you. But for people like us who live full-time in it and work full-time in it, you definitely pays to have a little bit of extra space.
Todd, thanks for that call. We'll go to Connie now in Portage. Connie, hi.
Hi. We've had motorhomes for years and years and years. But what makes us so upset is our motorhome is in really great shape, but it's 17 years old. You cannot leave a motorhome in a park seasonally unless it's 10 to 15 years old. People don't know that. And for that price, how many people are going to trade like you would a car?
Connie, got it. Julie, have you run into that? So you can't have an older RV parked seasonally in some parks?
Well, we obviously don't park seasonally because we're full-time, but there are a lot of RV parks that do have a 10 or 15-year age limit rule. And we've inquired about that. We haven't come across that to be much of an issue. Our first coach is 2012, but our current coach is a 1999. And we actually just spent a week at an upscale RV resort, a motor coach resort, actually, in Jupiter, Florida. They didn't have an issue at all. They had a pride of ownership rule. But I think what Connie's point is very valid in that we did question a campground about this up in Portland, Oregon, and they said it actually wasn't their rule, but it was the city, because the older RVs and the electrical systems increases the risk of a fire, which can then impact other RVs and the park, of course. Now, I don't know if that's fact. That's just what we were told by the management of that park, but I thought it was a really valid response. In that these older coaches, one of the number one causes of fires is RV refrigerators. And, you know, it's easy for those to go up quick. And I'm not trying to scare anybody here, but just to be aware that, you know, these things can happen. And I imagine that some of the parks are trying to limit their liability because it would impact their insurance. So that could be a reason for it, and definitely worth asking. But, yeah, Connie, trading in an RV, it's these older coaches, there can be some good ones. Ours is 20 years old, and you know, it's beautiful. We just did a full remodel on it. But checking RVs all the time to fit in that rule can get expensive for sure.
Thanks, Connie, for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Tom now in Port Wing. Tom, hi.
Hi. I have some property down in Texas. I'd like to do this with an RV. What's the cost? Do I pay by the mile? And then if I stay there a couple of months, do I pay by the month? Or how does the rental on one of these units work?
Oh, for renting, Tom. Mark, do you have a lot of experience with rental of RVs?
We don't have a lot of experience with rentals, but there's a lot of different types. There's the big chains you see that are like driving billboards, the Cruise America and stuff like that. There's also companies like RV Share that is basically more like an Airbnb where people are renting out their private units. They oftentimes have a mileage and a per day related to that. So it is a good option for people to get a first feel for how they like to RV. But then if you decide you want it, then obviously rental's not the best long-term solution. But there's definitely usually a per day and a per mile fee, and it will add up. Rentals are not cheap, but it's cheaper than buying the wrong RV from the get-go.
Tom, thanks for the call. Make sure you can still get the Ideas Network down there in Texas and keep on calling in at 800-642-1234. Mark and Julie Bennett are with us. They're the authors of Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. We're talking about a growth in popularity on over the years for RVs, either as a vacation vehicles or living in full time as our guests do. And Mark, this to me, this would be a tough psychological change for me. I like having a home base that is fixed in one place. Can you talk about just some of the adjustments you have to make when you go full time living on the road?
Yeah, well, you know, there's quite a few people who do still like to have a home base if they're in the financial position to be able to hold on to a traditional home. That's a really great option to give themselves that ability to have something they can call home. For us, Julie and I, we were able to jump straight in, both feet, sold our house, and it was less of a transition for us. But I do see, especially for the folks that raise a family in their traditional home and then hit the road, it's a bigger transition for them. But I'm sorry, Julie, do you have input on that too?
Yeah, I think one thing we don't miss, Rob, is all of the house and yard maintenance. Every time I see someone in the RV park mowing the lawn, we look out the window and think, oh, it's nice someone else gets to do that. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. I mean, a lot of people like to have that. You've got community, you've got your home and your things around you. And I think one of the things that it's not as much of an adjustment for us as people may think, because this is our home and we do have our things around us. It's not like we're living out of a suitcase like we would be if we're traveling on vacation and staying in hotels or just doing you go on a weekend or a week-long RV trip. You spend a couple of days planning for it, shove everything in the RV, you go off, have your trip, come back, and then it's a whole other job getting it all out and cleaning up again. But here it's very seamless. I mean, we've got our refrigerator, we've got our pillow, our own bed every night. Everything that we want and need is in the RV. So it's really the only thing that really changes is the location. That can be pretty awesome.
Let's bring on another caller now. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
One other thing that was really interesting for us is that 6 months into our travels, we had a real profound moment when we had been home visiting family over the holidays and then flew back to where our RV was after spending a week with family in our hometown. And when we got back to the RV, we said, oh, is it so good to be home?
Oh, nice.
So over time, it actually becomes feeling more of your home than your traditional one did.
Let's go to Edie now in Baraboo. Edie, hi.
Hi. I'm enjoying this program. I go around for, probably 2 months or so at a time out of Baraboo, and I just have a utility van. I can't stand up in it. And when I bought it, there was nothing in it. It was just bare metal. So I had a bed put in, and I have a cooler that plugs into the cigarette lighter or electric if I'm at a campground, and a little porta potty, and I study all winter where I'm going to go and head out, and I love it. You can take all the back roads and meet so many interesting people, and you don't have to have something fancy to do this.
Yeah, Mark, thanks a lot for the call, Edie. I've seen people, I actually just saw somebody who was converting a retired ambulance that they'd bought on auction. I've seen people with vans and different vehicles. What's the variety you see when you're out on the road or at a campground?
Yeah, we see the variety run the gamut. In fact, the story this gal just shared on the phone, one of the people featured in our book in the RVer Profiles has a very similar van and a very similar travel style and is able to travel very frugally. I mean, you can buy an RV, or build your own pseudo RV, as this woman did, for just a very little bit of money, and you can spend as much as $2 million on some really expensive high-end custom coaches. So they really run the gamut. We see a lot of people spending between $50,000 to $150,000 on their full setup.
Thanks for the call, Edie. And Julie, Edie also mentioned the people she meets along the way. And I don't want to let the time get away from us without talking about that. What kind of people do you meet on the road? Do you feel a community when you're meeting other people who drive around?
Absolutely. And I'd say that is one of my biggest pleasant surprises. I was really concerned. I'm an extrovert. I like people. Was worried about leaving behind my community in my home. But what I found is our community on the road is just much bigger and more supportive than I ever would have imagined. We've got people, literally friends all around the country now. And RVs are helpful. You know, if something's going on, they're the first to lend a hand, help you out. If they see you trying to fix something on your RV, they'll come over and try and help you. It's really an amazing community, and that was definitely a really, really great surprise that completely exceeded my expectations.
And Mark, something that struck me in your book in our last minute or so, you describe you know, your life living in a home, commuting to a job that you had to show up in person at. You were finding it very stressful, and you found just a complete reversal now that you're living in an RV. Can you talk about how you find life so much less stressful now?
Yeah, well, you don't spend nearly as much time with that commute and with the stressors of regular life, and you are able to connect more with nature, which has an ability, for me at least, has a real grounding effect to lower my stress. So this lifestyle, you know, depending on how fast you travel, can be more stressful, but for me, it's really provided a new level of stress relief and tranquility, and regular lifestyle and work off of work.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll watch for both of you coming up to Wisconsin in the near future. Thanks to Mark and Julie Bennett. They're a husband and wife team. They're bloggers, YouTubers, RV course instructors, and full-time RVers. They're the authors of the book Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. A lot of advice in there for current or potential RV drivers. We talked to them about why RVs have been surging in popularity. They joined us from Fairhope, Alabama.